Okay, we've been looking at this, studying about growing in grace. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. We've read these verses each time. We're going to read them again this morning. I want you to be real familiar with them. If you read them and we preach and preach on this, you become more familiar with it. I have, of course, but I want you to also. This is good stuff. Very good basic stuff. I enjoy preaching on this subject this morning, you know, these things, but especially this one this morning. I really enjoy preaching on things like this more than I do on the hard stuff, the stuff that's hard to swallow and hard to dish out. And so I hope you'll listen this morning, and it's amazing to me how these things all fit together. I find that out every time. Every time I go through anything in the Bible, studying or preaching on it, it opens up to me and they connect together. And you can see the order that God means and designed in everything. So let's read these verses together. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's start verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." There you go. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the songs, and thank you for each one's here again. I pray your blessing on each one. Pray that be helped this morning from your word. Pray they get that sustenance, that nourishment for their soul that would help them to grow thereby. And Lord, help us all as we look at this, that we would understand these things and how they go together and what it really means, and how not only as just an intellectual understanding, but as a how they apply in our life. As we walk out of these doors and go back into this world and live another week, I pray that we'd put these things in practice and live by them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, brotherly love. We talked about godliness last week. Brotherly love, or brotherly kindness, and then charity. Now, I'm just going to focus on brotherly kindness here this morning. We're not going to really... Yeah, it's necessary to bring charity in a little bit in order to understand it, but we're going to try to stick with this morning. Brotherly, that's the adjective there that's used to identify and describe the type of kindness we are to add to our faith. He didn't just say kindness. The world shows kindness. A lot of people show kindness. You can be a real bad person and still show kindness once in a while to somebody. That's the thing. That's the way it is, you know. But he says brotherly kindness. That deepens the meaning of it. It clarifies the meaning of it. The kind of kindness that we add to our faith. By God's design, now you got to think about it. Brotherly. The way God designed us, we become attached to one another when we live in close association with one another. You understand? I mean, you get attached to people if you're around them. People talk about friends and all of that, but friends come and go. I mean, if you've never figured that out yet, you got some learning to do. Friends are not forever. That's a fantasy. It really is. I've had friends through my life, but when when you're separated from them by distance and time, it just kind of fades. The affection fades. The brotherliness. Now, you may hold fond memories of them and all of that, but the closeness is not there. that's there when you're together. You know, that's what we're talking about, these people that are fostering kids and stuff. You get these kids in now, I'm telling you, you know this is right. So you can understand what I'm talking about. You bring those children into your home and you're going to get attached to them. And it's going to be hard for you when you have to be separated from them. It's that way. We're just made that way. We get attached to a dog. We get attached to a car. I mean, that's how deep it runs in us. Our heart sets its affection on things below when Jesus told us not to do that. Things. But people, the reason it's so easy for us to attach ourselves to things is because God made us with a heart that attaches itself, that it loves. And and it was meant to love people, not things of this world. But anyway, that's the point. When we're around one another, we get attached to one another in spite of the frustrations and the offenses and the trouble they may cause us. We still grow emotionally attached to one another. God made us that way. Brotherly love. The reason I'm saying that's brotherly kindness is what he's talking about. You're to have kindness out of affection, out of love for other people. And I want you to understand this kindness this morning that he's talking about. We're not made children of God and a part of his family simply by our choice. Now, sometimes it's preached that way. A lot of times people understand it that way. They think, well, I made my decision for Christ. No, you got to be born again. You got to be born into God's family. People make up their minds and they make their choices all the time, but they can change their mind and they can change their choices. And when you're born into God's family, you don't change that. You never change your mind about it. That's a fact. Now, there you go. That's security of the believer. You got to be a believer, then you got security. Once saved, always saved. I hate that expression because it doesn't express security of the believer in a proper way. It causes confusion and it causes people to be deceived in their hearts because they made a decision for Christ. They're going to heaven whether they like it or not. No! Not if you're not born again. Not if you've not been born of the Spirit. What's born of the flesh is flesh. But what's born of the Spirit is Spirit. Jesus said, you better realize there's a difference. And there's two things. There's the flesh and there's Spirit. And you got to be born of the Spirit. You got to be born spiritually. Born into God's family. That's how we get in. You're not going to understand or be able to practice, add to your faith, this kind of faith, unless you've been born into God's family. Brotherly kindness. This birth is a spiritual birth and it transcends all the boundaries of division in the human race. You ever think about that? When we were little, we sang this song, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That expresses an idea that is really true. When you're really born of God, all those prejudices and stuff vanish in God's family. A black man can be your brother. And you think of him as your brother. If he's saved also. It's a bond that bonds us together. When we're born into this family, we love one another. Now that's just the fact of the matter. That's what the Bible teaches so plainly that you cannot miss it and you can't make a mistake there. If you're really born again, you love the brethren. It don't matter what color they are. It don't matter what country they're from. It don't matter what kind of culture they come from or anything else. Nothing else matters. Rich or poor, bond or free. Paul said he wasn't ashamed of my chain. That's brotherly kindness based on brotherly love. To the person that's truly born of God and brought into this kingdom, all these differences are bridged and we're one in Christ. Now that's only, you know, this is not only a reality as a precept or an idea, but there's a love born in our hearts for the brethren. And these differences don't obstruct that love or diminish it in any way. Hope you're listening. Hope you're getting this because it's important. I know it's true. In fact, this is one of the most important marks of a true believer, that he loves the brethren. The Bible declares that the absence of that love is proof that the person is not born again and doesn't know God and that he's still lost in his sin. You can't accept somebody from a Middle East country, for example. They got a bad name right now. We got a bad attitude about them right now. But if you can't accept somebody that's a Christian, that's truly born again now, from there as your brother, you got a problem. If you are prejudiced against black people or any other kind of people, and you can't fellowship with them as a Christian, you got a bad spiritual problem. Bible says that you ain't even saved. No, that's what it says. That stuff vanishes. You can go to any country in the world and you'll find people of God there. Now, they may be hiding out somewhere. In a lot of these countries, they are. They're meeting in the dens and caves of the earth, just like some of our spiritual ancestors did. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If you did get a chance to be in fellowship with them, there would be a kindred spirit there. And you'd find out within just minutes, you'd find out this feeling you have toward them. Love. I mean, you would love them because they're of God. The same God, same Christ that saved you, saved them. That's what we got in common. That's what Jesus prayed for in John 17 in his priestly prayer, that we might be one. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it is. Brotherly kindness. Remember that. Remember now what we're talking about. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11 says, "He that saith he is in the light, hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, "We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." And then 1 John 4, 7 and 8, y'all know that, don't you? We sing it all the time. "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." You understand what he's talking about? People of the world, carnal people, they love one another in a sense, but it's not the love of God. It's not this kind of love that they're talking about. That love has boundaries. That love has restrictions. That love has to be qualified or it's off. You got to meet the requirements or I don't love you. Not this kind of love. Has no restrictions. Has no bounds. So, kindness that springs from that kind of love has no restrictions, no bounds, no qualifications. Brotherly kindness. It's not restricted. It's not bound up. Doesn't have to. You don't have to fill out an app and you don't have to meet all certain qualifications for us to be kind. Christian, I've said this for years. You know, there's no excuse ever for a Christian not to be kind. No matter what they're doing to you. They spit in Jesus' face and he didn't answer them roughly. It didn't matter what they did to him. He said, "You can commit all manner of sin against the Father, against me, and it'll be forgiven you." And it didn't matter what they did to him. He was kind to them. Now, you don't think that we ought to be that way? If we want to call ourselves Christians and we want to wear his name, if we don't act like he does, then we're taking his name in vain. We've been told to add to our faith so far, these things. And everything we've been told so far to add to our faith in this scripture here has been concerning ourselves. Have you noticed that? Virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Well, that's to do with me. Knowledge. That's to do with me. Temperance, that's me. Patience, that's me. Toward others, but that's me. That's me I got to work on to have patience. Godliness, yes. Living my life Godward, like we talked about last week. Walking with God. Walking in holiness and in the presence of God. Remember that? Well, now things turn about. This time, we're talking about others. Now, that virtue, knowledge, and I don't know if y'all are getting any of this or not as we go along, but you remember how we explained at the very beginning how this is not something that we mechanically add to our faith. We don't go out and get it and add it to our faith. It is something that happens naturally because we're a new life, because we're born into God's kingdom, and His life is in us. We grow, and these things are added as we grow. The tree has got to grow before it can produce fruit. It's got to grow. You got to have a tree before you can have fruit. So the biggest part of the time that tree's growing, it's the tree. It's the tree. But when the tree matures, when the tree has what it needs to produce the fruit, there'll be fruit. That's where we're at. We've been talking about the tree, but now we're talking about the fruit. This is toward others. This is what others benefit. This is what others are blessed with by our growth in grace and in the knowledge of God. All these other things are the tree growing. Now we begin to see the fruit produced in from a healthy, mature tree. Kindness, brotherly kindness. It'll be there. It'll be there. It'll appear. When the tree is mature enough to bear fruit, it'll appear. Now the focus is turned to others and how we deal with them. Kindness and charity. They're the guidelines from the Word of God that He's given us here to work with in dealing with others. Always keep that in the forefront of your mind. These are the rules God has given us when it comes to other people. What's number one rule? Kindness. And charity. This is the end of the thing. This is the end of the growing in grace. The end of the things you add to your faith. It's the rules of engagement, if you will, with those that are out besides ourselves, others. Now, there can be no love without kindness. You understand? There's no such a thing as love that doesn't show kindness. That doesn't exist in the universe. Love is kind. In fact, I got it right here. Charity suffereth long. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, when it starts describing charity and defining it and what it is, first verse, first thing that it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. That can't have kindness is part of charity. You can't have charity unless it's kind. It ain't real charity. Love ain't mean. Love ain't selfish. Love ain't cruel. Love's kind. And it gives. Without any thought of cost to itself. That's how God loved us. That's how He loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son. That's God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. Gave Himself. Didn't matter the cost to Him. It was us He had in mind. It was our blessing, our benefit, our salvation, our redemption. Saving us from eternal punishment. The kindness and love of our God appeared. After that, the kindness and love of God appeared. After we were hateful and hating one another. And it changed us, see? Well, so if we're to add to our faith brotherly kindness, what does it mean? Well, if we've grown in grace with the addition of the virtue, knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, the natural thing to follow will be brotherly kindness. It's not the kindness that selfish people show with the motive of gain for themselves in some way. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 33, "And if ye do good to them which do good to you, What thank have ye? That word is grace. What grace have ye? What has God got to do with your doing good? He has nothing to do with your doing good. That's what it's saying. Y'all understand? Grace is the influence of God. Where's God at in this? If you just do good to them who do good to you. He went on and said, what thank have you for sinners also do even the same. That's the way this world works. That's the way sinners do. They'll do good to somebody if they got something coming back. That ain't the kind of kindness that God is saying add to our faith here. No, no, no. The kindness that is added to our true faith is kindness that has no requirements or qualifications. For the object of our kindness, the person we're being kind to, or the cost to ourselves. Do you ever stop before you give, do, say anything for somebody and figure what's it going to cost me? How's this going to affect me? Better watch that. I mean, that's sinners do that. Don't you want to live above that plane? What if Jesus would have been that way? What if in the Garden of Gethsemane, while he was looking at the cost that was fixing to be paid and the results of it and the few that were ever going to be saved because of it, what if he just said, I don't think it's worth it. It's going to cost me too much. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He didn't go to the cross desiring the pain and the anguish and all of that. No, he dreaded it just like you and me would. He was a man. Yes, he was. Yeah, he was God, but he was God as a man. He took part of the same flesh, same blood as us. And it was hard. Yeah. That's why he sweat great drops of blood. But it was God that mattered. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He's talking to God. And so he submitted to the will of God. If we do that in our kindness, in our giving, in our benevolence to others, then that's what makes it count. That's what qualifies it as this kind of kindness that he's saying add to your faith. He ain't just saying be nice to everybody. Be giving to everybody. That's not what he's saying here. Y'all see that? It's more than that. Lots of people do that. In this time of year, you got all kinds of people that'll gather up toys for the kids for Christmas. They'll gather up baskets for Thanksgiving. They do good things. But why do they do it, most of them? Is it because they just do it because they want to honor God? Really? No. They want to promote themselves. They want to project. They want to it's PR. They want to improve their image before the public. Mm-hmm. Who am I talking about? Well, every year I see the Eagles doing that, the Eagles Club. You know what they do the rest of the time? Sit and drink beer, play cards. That's their club. But they want to give, and, you know, good. If some little kids get some toys, good. But I'm just saying to you this morning, that's not the kind of kindness that you add to your faith here. I hope you see the difference. When it comes to us, we need to realize that and then look at ourselves and say, now, you know, before I do this, let me see how this is going to affect me, what this is going to cost me, you know, and how this is going to be any negative aspect of this on my life, and then cull it. Just like the eagles, just like the rest of the world. Jesus said sinners do like that. I'm not talking about this. He said, I'm talking about kindness that's growth in grace. The grace of God. Where God, you do it because of God. You do it because God has made you and changed you to where your heart really feels that way toward people. And you want to be a blessing to people. You live to be a blessing to people. You ain't just doing it so everybody think you're the great guy or the great woman. You're doing it because that's the way God is. And God lives in you. And there ain't no argument. There ain't no struggle in you about it. Oh, my mind goes a lot of different ways there. But anyway, let me just hurry up here and stick with my thing here. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Do you do that? When you lend something, do you just say, you know, do you say if they pay me back, fine, if they don't, fine? Or do you always keep it on the books? And remember, they owe me. They owe me that money. Did you hear what Jesus said? Lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. Will it be great if you begrudge it and hold it against them? And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now Jesus said that. That's what God is like. He said, you seen me, you seen the Father. Listen to me, I will show you the Father. He said, the Father is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. No matter if they never, I mean, Jesus healed 10 lepers. How many of them said, thank you? One came back, and it was a Samaritan. The lowest of the people. He turned around and come back and said, thank you, Lord. But all of them got healed. When they didn't say thank you, he didn't smite them all with leprosy again and say, there you go, you unthankful wretches. They all got it anyway. He's kind because he's kind. Because he's God. Kindness is a universal language that communicates without words. It conveys to others what is in our heart toward them. Now think about that. It really does. Everybody understands kindness. It softens the heart of everybody, anybody. A little kindness. It testifies to others that we esteem them to be important. That we count them as somebody and not as just nothing or junk or trash. We should honor all men. It doesn't matter how poor they are. Doesn't matter what their station in life is. Doesn't matter what they've done in the past. Doesn't matter what they're doing right now. We ought to be kind to them. Because God lives in us. And his nature, be partaker of the divine nature that he's talking about in the verses before this. This is what it is. If you're going to be a partaker of the divine nature, you're going to be kind. But they see that. Kindness without saying a word. Just giving. Caring. Kindness shows that you care. It speaks volumes. You can say, I care all you want to. You can tell them how much you know about their suffering all you want to. But until you show them kindness, they don't believe you. They don't take it for real. But kindness speaks, and it's a universal language. You may not be able to communicate with words at all, but they understand that. It doesn't matter what color they are, what language they speak. Nothing of that matters. It's the door. It opens the door for the gospel to be spoken to them. That's why Jesus fed the multitudes. That's why he healed the sick and the lame. It opened the door for him to be able to say something. I remember hearing preachers years ago saying, you know, that they didn't believe in missions where they fed the people or anything like that or did anything like that for them. Ought to go and every dime ought to be spent to preach the gospel. And they're starving to death. Go preach the gospel to them while they're starving to death. And say, be ye warmed and filled. Well, the Bible has something to say about that. You see your brother or sister destitute and without him, you say to him, and you can do something about it. And you say, be ye warmed and filled. God bless you, brother. Hope you find something to eat. Just remember Jesus. Love Jesus. What kind of gospel is that? Jesus took care of their needs. I mean, he was kind to them. That's what it was. I mean, he went about doing good. And he did all things well. How could you not like him? The only way you couldn't like him and love him is if you were a stinking Pharisee. It's the only way you didn't like him. You despised his kindness and his goodness. It's still that way. Kindness springs from the heart that has been regenerated and doesn't see boundaries and skin color and past or present sins, and it doesn't hold back because of any of these things. Jesus was kind to every kind of person. Now, we could just park right there and I could just go through and show you. There was a woman at the well. She was a sinner. Shacking. Had five husbands and shacking with this man she's with now. The men in town knew her. Oh, yeah. Mary Magdalene, what about her? Jesus sat down there on that well. And when his disciples come, they marvel that he spoke to her. Why would he be talking to a woman like this? But he did. And she didn't leave the same woman. Why? Well, because he was kind. And he counted her as somebody instead of trash. Yes. He was kind to every kind of person. We just go on and on. Thieves, adultery. The woman caught in adultery. Caught in the very act. Mercy. Well, that's what she found. Mercy. Didn't she? Woman, where are thine accusers? Well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't justify her sin. No, he did not. He didn't let her get by with it. There was repentance there. If you study the scripture, you know, she called him Lord. That was a big stinking mess is what that was right there. And anyway, we'll go on from here. I'm just saying to you, Jesus was kind to every kind of person except Pharisees. And he was kind to them if they were honest and kept and had honest questions. They came a-seeking. But when they were lying and deceiving the people and being devils, he called them out for what they were. Well, that's goodness, isn't it? You know, people can't understand nowadays. They can't get to, if a preacher calls out evil, he's mean-spirited. No, he's good and he's kind and he loves. That's why he does it. The cowardly, selfish hirelings won't, because it'll cost them. Man will tell the truth no matter what it costs him. You better stick with him. Kindness is that's added to faith is part of our faith. We're kind to others because of our faith. We're kind to others because of our hope for them that springs from our faith in God, and that all things are possible with God. And y'all follow me now. We're kind to people because of our faith. If you have faith, you're going to be kind because of your faith. Because you look at people in faith. The Bible talks about us having the faith of Jesus. Well, now, what does that mean? Jesus had faith? Yes. He looked at people for what they... That's why he'd stopped at the well that day and waited on that woman. Because he can see what we can't see. And he looked into the future and saw her for what she could be. And not what she was right now. And that's why he was kind to her, and that's why we're kind to people. Because we look at them and see what they could be if God ever got a hold of them. If they ever heard about God and the light of the glorious gospel did shine into their heart, what they could be like. And so we are kind. Because that's the only way we got to get them there. If we're unkind, we shut the door on them. We shut the door on them with our unkindness. Let me hurry up here. It's added to our pain. We're kind to one to others because we see what they could be if they were enlightened and came to know God. And kindness is the attitude and disposition of our heart toward others. It's not just what we do for them or say to them. It's the disposition and attitude of our heart. I don't know how to make that any plainer, but I hope you'll listen and think and understand that. It's kindness is not just acts. It's in us. I mean, it's our attitude. It's the way we think, the way we feel about others, the way we look at others. It's deeper than meeting it out a dime at a time or, you know, checking everything out and being so very careful about what we do. We just kind of, you just want to give. You want to give. You want to be benevolent. It's your nature because you're a partaker of the divine nature. And that's what God's like. Thank God he's like that. He ain't like the devil. He ain't like this evil around us. God is good. And he's kind. And it's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. Oh, it's just so important. And it's such a big deal in our life. Here's what the dictionary says about kindness. Now, listen. It's goodwill. Goodwill. Well, it's coming up Christmas time here. Isn't that what the angels said that night when they announced the birth of the Savior? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's what our heart ought to be. Goodwill. Wishing well. Having a heart of faith to see the future and wish people well. Wish them to make it. Wish them to learn. Wish them to get out of the ditch. Goodwill. The second is benevolence. It's that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others. This is what the dictionary says about kindness. Which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their needs, or alleviating their distresses. Benignity of nature. Kindness ever accompanies love. Now the dictionary says that. You can't have love without kindness. Where there's love, there's going to be kindness. And kindness is that disposition to help people in their needs, in their wants, in their troubles, in their distresses. Act of goodwill, benevolence. Or beneficence, it says, and any act of benevolence which promotes the happiness or welfare of others. Charity, hospitality, attentions to the wants of others are deemed acts of kindness. Pretty simple. I mean, my goodness, do I have to explain what kindness is? You know that, don't you? You know that that is what it is. But it helps us to hear it. It helps us when somebody says it to us and reminds us of what it is and what it means. The kindness that's added to our faith is about how we feel toward others, not just what we do for them or give to them. It's how we feel. I don't know. I don't understand how anybody cannot be this way. If you have really experienced the kindness of God in your life, and all of us, without exception, I know for a fact, it doesn't matter who's here, you have experienced the kindness of other people. Everybody here has. Somebody has shown you kindness in your life more than once. More than once. And I don't understand how we cannot be kind as long as we have in our mind what God's done for us. And what others have done for us. I don't understand how people can look at other people in need and not want to help them. When we lived in Mexico, we had iron gates, you know, and they'd come up and they'd have a piece of metal or something, or, you know, something hard, a rock. A lot of times they'd have a rock and they'd peck on the iron, you know, to... It was like knocking on your door. They couldn't get to the door, so they'd rattle the gate out there, and you'd go out there. And it was a constant, continual thing. We didn't have enough money to live on. And that's why we ended up having to leave. But you just couldn't. I mean, I just could not say no. Unless I knew they were a druggie. There were some of them. And I told them, no, man, I can't do this. It's just going to make it worse for you. But man, you just don't. I just don't know how. I saw people do it, though. I saw people say, ugh. I heard a preacher say, a woman on the sidewalk on one of the trips we went on, a woman was standing there with a little baby, and she had a deal, and she was begging for money. He said, I wouldn't give her a dime. She's probably a phony. Probably out there just begging money to go buy booze for her husband or something. What do you think? How's that? Is that the love of God shed abroad in your heart? Is that the kindness that and the benevolent attitude that grace produces in your heart? No, sir. I thought even as green as I was then, I thought, man, how in the world can you say that? I would much rather give and be mistaken. I'd rather face God and Him say you shouldn't give to that one than to say I put somebody in your path and desperate and you turned them away because of your hard heart and your selfishness. Nope, I'd rather err that way. And you won't err very much that way. Kindness is what God instructs us here. Kindness is the fruit. And I guarantee you, you're not going to err too much being kind. You're not going to err too much when you give. You're going to err when you withhold. That's when you're going to err. You're much more likely to err that way. Well, hang on a minute. Can't see. Between the ladybugs and everything else. God commanded acts of kindness in the law. I wish y'all listened to this, man. I read this and I thought, mercy, mercy, mercy. God the same yesterday. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Boy, just listen what he said in the Old Testament. I'll get there in a second. I ain't quite there. Natural man, though. God commanded acts of kindness in the law, but now the law is written in our hearts. And the kindness should be a description of what we are instead of what we do because we're commanded to do it. Did y'all hear me? The law commanded people to be kind and to do good things for other people. But now the law of God's written in our hearts, right? Yes, it is. And so kindness now ought to be an expression of what we are, not just what we do. Jesus, now let me say this, the natural man will always look for a reason not to be kind or benevolent. And when Jesus told the rich man to love his neighbor, this was his response. Now you remember, the rich man said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, he summed it all up into, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second, you shall love your neighbors yourself. You know what the rich man's response was? Who is my neighbor? I mean, who can I exclude from this now, Lord? You don't mean everybody. Who's my neighbor? Remember, that's when he told him about the story of the Good Samaritan. He said, now who was neighbor to that man? He said, well, I reckon the guy that helped him was then, huh? But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Brotherly kindness is added to our faith. It's not limited to those who we believe are saved people. Brotherly kindness doesn't mean now you've got to be kind to the people who are saved, people in your church, but you know, you can forget everybody else. The rest of them low lives, you can just forget them. Be kind to one another. Forget everybody else. No! We're to be kind to everybody. Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all. Psalm 145:9. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Now, who's God good to? Everybody. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Not just on the good people. Not just as a reward for doing right. Everybody gets the rain. God's good to everybody. It's the way of sinners to qualify people, or what the modern term is, vet them, before showing them kindness. God and those who are truly godly are not like that at all. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Luke 6:35 again. Now we can see clearly that even in the Old Testament, God called them, he called them our brother if they were living among us, even if they were a stranger. Now I'm about done. I'm going to read you these verses. I'm going to quit. So please listen to this. You hear what I said? God means everybody. We're to be kind to everybody, not just certain people. Not just the people that we like. Not just the people that we think deserve our kindness. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 35 through 36. Now this is Old Testament law. This is God speaking. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee, take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Now, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Yeah, help him. You're supposed to help him. If he is waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee. I mean, he's on the skids, man. Running on the rim, as we say. What are you supposed to do? Help him. Remember, fear God. Help him. Don't do it to help yourself. Don't take no profit from it. Say, I'll give you 20 bucks today, but you got to pay me 40 next week. Because of his desperate situation. Like the credit card companies are doing now with everybody, you know. People that have a problem with their credit or whatever, or trying to get started, we'll give you a credit card, 29.99%. That's what he's talking about. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7 through 11. If there be among you a poor man of one of the brethren within any of the gates of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee this saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. Didn't Jesus say, the poor you have with you always? That's what it said right there. The poor will never cease out of the land. It's always going to be poor among us. We all think we're poor, but don't even know what it is, really. And somebody's desperate, you know. They ain't got nowhere to turn. What are we supposed to do? Help. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen? Kindness has many rewards here and now, but also many promises from God. And we just read one there. I mean, God, because he'll bless you. And he'll bless everything you put your hand to. Proverbs 19:17 says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. Now, did y'all get that? When you give to the poor, God's looking at it and he says, just lend that to me. And God pays back. Yes, he does. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And he will repay him. Proverbs 28:27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. You want to be poor? Tighten up your hand. Hang on to what you got. Be critical and hateful and mean and stingy, and you'll understand by experience what it's like to be poor. You hear that? He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. And that's God. That's the way God sees it. That's what God says. That's the way that it works. Because God said so. And in Proverbs chapter 11, last verse I'm going to read here, verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, that don't mean liberals like we talk about nowadays. The liberal soul, the one that freely gives, shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Jesus said it like this. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. How you live in this wicked, evil world? Be kind. I mean, what is the thing that shows forth most about God's people? What they know about the Bible? How good they are about living right and everything about them? Boy, they toe the line. They got every I dotted and every T crossed. Is that what convinces people? Oh, they must be the people of God. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. It's their kindness. How much they're like God. How many times in the Bible do you read where they cry, they turned against God, they forgot Him. They lived as wicked as they could live. And then they got in trouble and they called upon the Lord. And then what does the Bible say? The Lord heard them and delivered them in spite of their wickedness. Boy, we better be that way. I mean, add to your faith, brotherly kindness. Don't you think that's what the world needs now? I don't think the world's destitute of it. As bad as things has happened, the thing that happened last week down there in that church and all those people were murdered by that savage, evil devil. I saw this week somebody was telling me about they started these GoFundMe deals for some of them. And I mean, in just a few hours. Why don't you tell me, Dakota? $400,000 for... See, people, there's a lot of people that are touched by other people's troubles. We've benefited here from other people just being kind to us and sending us money to help us get by. I don't know how we'd have made it if they hadn't. And I didn't tell them about our need. God did. That's the kind of kindness we're talking about this morning. I believe that's the kind of kindness that the Word of God's instructing us in here. I'm not talking about just doing good things and racking up and keeping count of all the good deeds we do and you know, expecting a reward. No. Just look out there at the people in need. Just look, you know. Everybody in here knows people that, I mean, you know, Christmas, happy time and all this. I mean, ain't going to be too happy for them. I'd like Thanksgiving. You know, we have our dinner here. I wish we could get people to come that we could be a blessing to and share it with that ain't got nobody and ain't going to be doing nothing, only just sitting at home by themselves that day. That's called ministering. Reaching out. Just little kindnesses. Man, I can tell you, they made a difference in my life. I remember when I was a little bitty child and people doing little kind things I never did forget. You know, don't take much. Sure don't take much. Just a kind word. Sometimes it don't cost much. It don't have to cost much either. Be kind. Add to your faith brotherly kindness. It's the fruit. I mean, it's part of the fruit. It'll be born in a tree that's healthy and mature. Virtue, knowledge. Yes. Amen. Well, let's stand. be wonderful if all Christians, if all of you in here would be saved, truly saved, and grow and be this kind of a Christian. I mean, if you'd grow enough to get to this place, you'll make a difference in the world. Don't think that this is ineffective. 9 lepers walked away healed and didn't say thank you. But don't you think that that didn't make a difference? The kindness was not wasted. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap. If you faint not, you just keep on. You keep on. Because it's the grace of God that motivates us. It changes, and we're being conformed to the image of His Son. See, we're coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the goal. Being like Him. Thinking like Him. Having the mind of Christ. He looked out on Jerusalem and He wept. He looked on the multitude and He had compassion on them. Because they were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. You got that mind? Do you look at people like that? Or are you just living for yourself? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the help that it is to us. Thank You for the conviction that it brings to our heart and mind when we realize our lack. Help us, Lord. I hope everybody understands this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You'd make it understandable to their hearts, that what we're really seeing here and what You're really saying to us. You're showing us that this is the effect of the grace of God and real faith. By grace are you saved through faith. This is what it brings us to. We become this kind of a person, this kind of heart, this kind of an attitude to the world around us. And without it, we can make no difference. In fact, we're a great hindrance to the cause of Christ and to the souls of men and women being saved. Please help us, Lord, to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. I pray You'd help us to put this into practice where it counts, and that's in our real lives. Lord, we love You and thank You for showing us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.